Hey friends, welcome to the Her God Story podcast, where every episode brings a powerful story to inspire and strengthen your walk with the Lord. I'm your host, Jody Caracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and fellow traveler on this incredible journey of faith. Let me ask you something. Have you ever wrestled with the idea of calling? Maybe you've assumed that real ministry only happens in a pulpit or on a mission trip. Or maybe you've questioned whether your everyday job in an office, a boardroom, or behind the scenes can truly make a difference. If so, you are not alone. For years, many Christians believed that full-time ministry was reserved for pastors or missionaries. But Scripture paints a different picture. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." God's call doesn't stop at the church doors. It permeates every part of life, including the workplace. Whether you're managing a team, serving customers, raising children, teaching in a school, caring for patients in a medical facility, or building a business, God is present. And He's using you right where you are. That belief is at the heart of our Somebody Cares mission. We've seen God move powerfully through business leaders, teachers, first responders, and even cashiers who simply said yes to being a light in this world. That's why we also support marketplace leaders through prayer, encouragement, and practical partnership, because we know the harvest is plentiful and the labors are not just behind pulpits. We're at desks, job sites, and city chambers shining the light of Christ. And because we believe in caring both spiritually and practically, we established the Somebody Cares Widow and Orphan Fund to meet urgent needs in times of crisis. Whether it's a grieving spouse struggling with funeral costs or children facing an uncertain future, your support helps us provide tangible expressions of God's love at their most vulnerable moments. In today's episode, you'll hear from someone who lives this out with integrity and boldness. My friend Melinda Torreson is president and COO at Meter Staffing in Houston, Texas, a thriving business with a heart for people. But beyond the professional success, Melinda is a woman who deeply loves Jesus and has learned how to bring His presence into board meetings, crisis response, and everyday decision-making. You'll hear how God is using her not in spite of being a business, but because of it. Through tornadoes, tech crashes, and the pandemic, Melinda's faith has anchored her. She's helped create a company culture that prioritizes prayer, compassion, and generosity, all while equipping thousands of people with meaningful employment. So whether you're leading a company, clocking in on the front lines, or somewhere in between, this episode will stir your faith and challenge your perspective. Ministry isn't just for the platform. It's for the marketplace, too. Grab your journal or settle in with your coffee, and let Melinda's story remind you that wherever God has placed you, He has purpose for you there. Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you, Jody. I'm so excited to be here and just being able to have conversation and just looking forward to it. So thank you for the invitation.
Leading a business through crisis is something that Melinda has a lot of experience at, and we're going to hear how God prepared her for that. Grew up, of course, knowing the Lord and made that decision, but your teen years were a little bit shaky because unfortunately, your parents ended up going through a divorce when you were in high school. How did that affect you and your faith?
I think it was a shock to hear, that my parents were actually going to separate and, go their separate ways and actually divorce. So I think, of course, now looking back, I can see all the good things that have come from that, believe it or not. But, looking back, I think that's what created in me, and I probably had it even before then, just an identity crisis of who am I? Where am I going? What does this mean? And I think it set me on a journey to really find who I was. Unfortunately, I take full responsibility, just made crazy, crazy decisions. But really, when I look back, it was truly, I look now at the importance of just our identity in Christ and really knowing that we know who we are in spite of anything that might go on in our lives and around us, that we cannot be shaken because we know that we know who we are at the end of the day.
And you kind of had a second come to Jesus moment, really, didn't you?
Yes.
When, you know, you had made some decisions. I mean, many of us who are in our young, you know, teenage and young adult years make rash decisions and do foolish things. But God is so gracious and merciful. He knows our hearts really want to follow after him. And so he intervenes. And how did he do that for you?
I remember, you know, at that particular point in time, I had gone off to college. I actually went to Stephen F. Austin University. I was there for a whole hot minute, like a semester, because I didn't do well. And of course, you know, my parents are like, you got to figure this thing out, Melinda, before we spend a lot of money on a college education. So I actually came back to Pasadena. At that particular time, I started working for Metter Staffing and was going to, I was going to San Jacinto College at night. It was like yesterday. I can remember being in the driveway and just had a moment of just this encounter, you know, that sometimes you hear from people, just like you felt like God was in like the front seat with you, you know, he and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and just talking to me saying, Melinda, which path are you going? There's two paths that you can take. One of them will lead to life. The other one will not be so great, which I knew that I knew, like, that path was either going to lead to death or to jail. Like, it would be something really bad. And so that was an encounter that literally changed the direction and the path that I was going, where, you know, my dad has always taught me it, you know, your life is determined by the people that you surround yourself with, the voices that you listen to. So at that moment in time, I knew, like, I probably need to change direction with, you know, the people that I'm hanging out with. So I literally just gave up everything, that whole, you know, group of friends, just the lifestyle that I was leading completely changed. And then, of course, set me on the course to eventually go to Southwest Texas State University, which is now, of course, named Texas State University. So that completely changed the direction and the path that I was going to go down. One of the reasons why I chose the college that I went to was I have to go somewhere where nobody knows me, because I didn't want a reputation to follow me. I wanted like a clean slate, new beginning. So that was a really big deal as well. So went to college. You know, I laugh now because my high school friends are like, you joined a sorority? That would be the last thing that I would have done. But really, I mean, I think the hand of God was really on me saying, you need to join a sorority, and ultimately knowing that these were the people I was going to connect with and still good friends with, you know, until now. And so joined a sorority, you know, was a business major, and truly just became immensely involved with not just the sorority that I was in, but also just within the Greek system, you know, in Southwest Texas University. I was able to participate in Rush, you know, which is a huge, huge event, you know, that goes on in the fall and the spring semesters. But I look back now and realize that's really when I was called into leadership. Just people coming to me, hey, Melinda, we think you should be president of the sorority, or we think you should, you know, oversee the Rush program this next year. And never had any inkling or any really longing or desire to be in leadership. I'm a really good follower. I'm super obedient and uber responsible. Like, just give me a task and I'm going to do it with excellence and to the fullest and complete it. But I, you know, I look back and college was really the beginning of being called into leadership.
God uses all sorts of things to help form the identity he has for us. Your leadership role was really the first step in preparing you for something bigger in more ways than one. And after college, you even became a sorority consultant.
That was a fun job, a hard job, and you really don't make a lot of money doing that.
But such good training for
the
future.
Yes.
So after your year as a consultant, what did you do?
I came back to Texas. Never had any intention of really wanting to come back to Texas. Never wanted to come back to Pasadena, Texas. Never really wanted to go to work for Metter Staffing. And my dad approached me and said, "Hey, I think you'd be really good at this job, and you don't have to do it forever, but why don't you come on board and maybe see if this is something for you?" And so the job was actually one that entailed traveling, And it's the company that was part of Metter Staffing Services, where we would actually help other permanent placement agencies or staffing companies get into the temporary help business. So that's how I started my 35 years now career here at Metter Staffing. Just, I'll go try it out and see if this is fun.
You wanted to start a family, and God, who really knows us intimately better than he knows ourselves. Yeah. That's what I like to say. God knows me better than I know myself, because I think I want to do one thing, but God knows what creates joy in me, because he put it in me. Yeah. So in the family process, trying to start a family, God had something really unique in store for you. Share about that.
Well, I am definitely a control freak, and I think I know everything, you know, and how it needs to be planned out. And so, of course, we got married, and it was like, okay, I think I probably want to have a baby in the summer, you know, be pregnant in the winter. So it's like my whole timing was like all planned out. And of course, it didn't work out that way. You know, started going to, you know, various doctors and, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here? I always tell everybody, Jody, everybody has their own unique and individual story and their path to parenthood. And so for Rick and I, it was just really unique. We were in, I remember being in the lobby of a doctor's office, and we had gotten another test back. And I think we knew at that point in time, okay, we've got to make a decision. Like, do you start really going down the path of trying to conceive a child or adoption? And it was just really weird. I remember we looked at each other, and it really wasn't even this long, in-depth, emotional conversation. It was very matter of fact. We looked at each other, and both of us said, we're supposed to start the pathway to adoption. But everybody has their own unique story and how God has uniquely designed them and crafted them. For me, I just wanted to be a mom. And for me personally, it wasn't about being pregnant or conceiving a child. And so, and he, I don't know when he did it, but he did. He just healed me emotionally. So I never went through just agonizing emotions or trauma. He just started the path towards adoption.
Melinda, so you're now a mom, and you're continuing to work at Metter Staffing, where you were gradually earning more and more responsibility. When Rick felt called to seminary so he could go into ministry, and that required an out-of-state move, which at the time you were in a job that you couldn't, you know, that was in the office. So it probably meant having to resign from your job at a time when you were going to be the sole breadwinner. So what did you do?
So that led to a conversation with my dad. You know, we're moving to Wilmore, Kentucky. At that point in time, our son was 2 years old. We had yet to adopt our daughter. And, you know, the first thing my dad said was, well, what kind of job are you going to get when you go there? And I was like, new job? Like, what? I can't stay working and doing my job here. And he said, I don't know how that's going to work, Melinda, because you manage a lot of people. You're responsible for so much. And so I went back to the table. I prepared a proposal, and I said, okay. I said, here's my proposal of how I can make this work. Let's give it 90 days. If it doesn't work out, then you can let me go. I'll resign and I'll go find another job in Lexington, Kentucky. So I was very determined and very strong-willed to figure out how to do this. And my claim to fame here at the company is I was the first remote commute, you know, type of virtual employee. So we moved to Kentucky, and I was on dial-up internet. I mean, oh my gosh. I look back and I'm like, I thought that was the best technology ever, you know, but, you know, looking back now, it's like, wow, that was so ancient. But that's when the dial-up internet had just, you know, come into play. So it did allow you to work, you know, virtually or remotely. And I did commit to, for 2.5 years, I came back to, you know, Houston every month and would spend a full week in the office. So, and then after 2.5 years, Rick graduated from seminary, and we ended up coming back here. So
that 2.5 years, that season really prepared you personally and your company for the days ahead. And boy, a whole bunch of different ways. share a few of them. I mean, from your personal side as well as from the business side.
Okay, that was like 98 to 2000. And I think how it prepared our company, I think it really set the path for opportunities for other employees that might have the same type of experience. You know, after I went to Kentucky and came back to Texas, there were multiple people who, for some, you know, reason, be it their spouse was relocated, had to move to different areas of the country, and their roles that they had here at the time allowed them to work virtually. So it really did open the door for others to do what I did. It definitely prepared us for COVID way in advance, where, you know, you can have people go remote, work virtual, and still be able to get the work done that needs to be done. I think it opened the door for our company to be, and I would definitely say this, I think my dad is definitely a visionary. He, God has equipped him to build things, to create things, and to become really supernaturally just innovative with how to do things. And so I think that's what our company has become known for, is just innovation and to be pioneers and forward thinkers. It's just one of those markers of how we could continue to be just next level and pioneers at what we do and doing things before anybody else does them.
And you also really grew in the Lord during that time.
Yeah, he knew he had to do a major work in me. Like, he was like, oh, Melinda, we still got to work on Melinda. And so he just really partnered me with an amazing group of women who were also in Wilmer, Kentucky, because of their spouses who, believe it or not, they were all in the marketplace. So they were all working for these Fortune 500 companies, felt called into ministry. And at that point in time, marketplace ministry wasn't a thing. And it was, well, if you're going to be in ministry, you have to be a pastor and be behind a pulpit. And so they literally uprooted their families in a major way and came to seminary. And Rick and I hosted a small group. And so I was just able to connect with so many amazing women, and a couple of women in particular that really took me under their wing and taught me things that I'd never heard about. It was a really sweet time for me personally, that, and I look back, Jody, at those years, while I thought my husband was going to seminary, it was just about him. I really look back now and it was about me too, to equip me for the things that I had to go through in the last, 25 mm-hmm. years, that if I would have not been at seminary and been connected with the people I was connected with, my story would be completely different.
Yeah. So you really learned so much there. You had always had conversations with the Lord, but now it was really a whole lot deeper, and you saw God moving in new ways and knew the power of God in a much more experiential way. Not just what you hear or read, but you had experienced some of that, which is transformative. So finally, Rick graduates from seminary, and it was, getting ordained. And what happened?
Yeah, a lot happened those last few months while we were in seminary. And at the end of our journey in seminary, the Lord was like, Rick, I think you're supposed to start a church. I was like, okay, here we go. Something else very unique and different. What does that look like? And so we did feel called to come back to Texas. When we moved back here, we ended up putting our roots down in Pearland. Of course, I, came back into the office, working full time still with Metter Staffing. And Rick started preparing, his roadmap for starting the church, which was called The River.
So God had Rick really full time in vocational ministry, while he had you in marketplace ministry, which was a new concept, really, even.
My role here at the company was pretty significant. A lot of responsibility. I was doing marketplace ministry per se. You know, we had started a prayer group here at the company. But I really, you know, I look back, Jody, and I'm so thankful for Rick, who had incredible flexibility. We were both in it together. And he really took the lion's share of the responsibility, especially with our son, and when he was going through his challenges. But I do look back, and I think it goes back to even me being able to go to Kentucky, is that our company had just a revelation of the importance of family, and especially moms and dads as well, but a heart for the family. And I did have a lot of flexibility to, you know, at one point in time, I was responsible for picking our son up at school, and he was going to a school way across town. And I had the flexibility to do that because then I could go, you know, home and work remote.
So in 2014, you actually became the president and COO of Meter Staffing, a large company with thousands of people relying on it for full employment. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. How did you come to embrace that? Because, you know, early on you said you had no desire to be a leader.
Yeah.
And now you're leading a company with thousands of employees.
You know, I probably didn't do it that well. You know, I look back, and of course, you know, my dad, still very involved in the company, especially at that point in time. And, you know, both of us together, I think, you know, we can admit, oh, we really could have done a much better job of that, of just a transition. Of course, you know, he's so funny. You know, he promoted himself to CEO, and then I was promoted to president. And like I said, he was still very involved with the company. We're both very similar in a lot of ways, but very different as well. Of course, you know, the main difference is he's male, I'm female, you know, different generations, you know, different ages. And so, you know, when I first became president, you know, Jody, it's so funny. I think back, I don't think I really accepted the role, to be honest with you. I think I still looked at, well, you know, he's kind of still in charge. He's the CEO. And I probably abdicated, you know, responsibility or leadership, knowing that I was called to do more, but maybe a little fearful of, okay, if I'm really in charge, everything kind of rises and falls with me. But it's interesting, in 2016 is when everything pivoted and changed. We had it was the first, you know, major crisis in the past 5-6 years with our company. And we had a massive computer crash. And it's when I looked at my dad for the first time, and he said, Melinda, you've got to take the company through this. He said, you've got to be in charge. And I said, is it because you really don't know what to do? And he said, kinda. And he said, I think you know better than me. And so that's really the moment when everything changed. And he said, oh, and it was like, he kind of, it's weird kind of talking this out, because I'm having revelation as we're sitting here even talking. It's when he kind of turned and submitted to my leadership, which is so weird, because again, it's my dad, you know, it's my boss. But that's when really everything turned. And then, you know, then our company went through just various crisis situations leading up to the global pandemic. And
the mantle, really, you accepted.
Yeah.
That.
So I just embraced it with, you know, my motto. I definitely learned during the pandemic is just do it afraid. You know, we all have, even though, you know, I know who I am in Christ, I know who he's called me to be, there's still, you know, those little voices in your head, those weird insecurities that are like, can you really do it? And I would just shut the voices and just do it afraid. Just do it. Somebody has to do it. And Melinda, you're called to do it. So, and doing it, I knew, that God was with me. Like, my faith was just unmovable and unshakable because of all the miracles and things he's already done. And so I just continue to look back at those stories and those just memories and just went out and did it.
Just share one of those miracle things that you look back on and draw strength from.
Wow. There's so many. I mean, even like the tornado this week is just, there's so many miracles. The one I think about, it was probably the computer crash. The miracle of like when I say computer crash, it was like all of our file servers, you know, back at that time, we had a whole lot of servers, you know, that stored all of our data, all of our information. We had backup tapes. All of those things were literally destroyed. And so there was a moment in time, like a few days, where it was like, we have no data. Okay, we run payroll on a weekly basis for thousands of employees. Okay, we have, like, at that moment in time, you thought everything is gone. The software company that we worked with, and we were, oh my gosh, we were actually about to do a huge computer conversion. So we were leaving our existing software company, you know, our applicant tracking system, and going to a new company. We called one of the gentlemen at that particular company that we were about to leave. Oh my God, he had so much grace and mercy on him. He actually, we're praying that you're going to be able to restore this. And he was able to restore our data up to, it was, okay, so that was 2016. He restored data through 2014, where we only had to rebuild 18 months of data. So that was a miracle. The next miracle was in 4 days, we were able to manually enter enough data where we were able to run a payroll, and nobody in the outside world ever knew what was going on internally at Metter Staffing. That almost makes me want to start crying, because it was just, it's those types of things that you're just like, that's just the goodness of God and definitely his hand and just miracle upon miracle that have really saved us time and time again.
It's pretty miraculous.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I could go on and on for days about this. I truly believe, and I think even Billy Graham might have said in years past, that the marketplace is where the greatest transformation is going to happen and where the greatest numbers of people being saved is actually going to happen. And so, you know, in 35 years, I've been able to see just lives changed, you know, not just people coming, you know, to the knowledge of who Jesus is, but I think in the marketplace is one of the safest places, believe it or not, where people are very vulnerable and transparent. And when they are going through really hard times, it's the place where they're going to be open and share. And I cannot begin to count the number of people who have, and these are non-believers, who know what I believe, and we are very forthright here at our company. It's all over our website. It's in our core values. People know what we believe. But the number of people that have come to me personally, Melinda, can you pray for me? I just think that opens so many doors of opportunities for business. I also, you know, I'm thinking about Somebody Cares right now, just in a disaster crisis situation. God wants to bless his people, and God uses resources such as financial prosperity. And so I look at Metter Staffing having been a great steward of money. And so even this afternoon, it's on my to-do list after I get off with you. I have a list of all of the organizations that Metter Staffing is going to be donating to because of the tornado. So I look at the marketplace. Oh my, I can't imagine being in any other arena or sphere of influence, but the marketplace is where Jesus can so shine brightly. I was actually chairman of the board for the Pasadena Chamber of the Year 2020 of all years. And that's where I really saw the marketplace minister to people and to be, you know, virtually on so many meetings with government officials, with, you know, educators, with local businesses, and just to share the gospel of Jesus in a non-threatening way, but just really a special, special thing. So like I said, I can't imagine being anywhere else except in the marketplace. And just the stories of being able to share the gospel and just bless people.
So Melinda, you know, most of us can believe that God looks after us personally and equips us personally to do his will. And of course, we can see God's hand working in our church, but many probably don't think about how God might also look after and equip companies and organizations. So what are your thoughts on that?
I definitely learned for every time you say yes, you have to say no to something else, or else you'll just be worn out. You won't like what you do anymore. And that's where I think God is so instrumental. And what I've done throughout my career, especially the last 10 years, is, God, you really have to show me, where do you need me? What do I say yes to and what do I say no to? And so he's been so faithful in doing that. Just everything that I do, even, you know, especially the chairman role of the chamber, because I really didn't want to do it. I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, my dad did all that stuff. I don't want to keep doing all the things that he did. And what are the intentions? And so really praying about, Lord, do I accept this role? And he's just, the way he speaks to me is so just very kind of matter of fact, yes, but I really don't want to do it. I understand. I don't think I can do it, but I'm God, Melinda, and you're not. And so that's just how he talks to me. And so a lot of prayer about things I'm personally involved with, you know, outside of the company, huge decisions, even small decisions, you know, that we make in the company. For example, yesterday I was in my car and I was like, Lord, it's a really busy day, but do I need to go to the Deer Park office and see the team? I mean, it was like an immediate, I just knew, yes, drive over there. They need to see you. You need to see them. So it's even those, what we deem as like small and significant decisions. It really is just leaning on him and asking him in prayer, what do I do? Because there's many times running a company, everybody thinks you know what to do, but you don't. And it's like, just give me enough wisdom for the next 24 hours. And that's really what he did, especially during the year of COVID, because it was hard in the beginning and you didn't know what to do hour by hour. And I just, Lord, just give me enough wisdom and insight for the next 24 hours.
That's interesting. You say how people are more readily likely to open up with, you know, with their colleagues at work, but you think, you know, you spend 40 plus hours a week with those colleagues, probably more time than you spend with almost anybody else. So they really do become your close allies, hopefully. When a business can create a culture of caring and openness as believers would, it really does lay the groundwork for some honest conversations that,
yes,
that can speak truth into people's lives.
That's right. Where are we going today?
So how does your faith, and you've talked about this a little bit, but I'm just going to get at it from a little different direction. How does your faith in God impact and inform your personal and your professional decisions and your involvements? I mean, because you were involved in the chamber, but I know you have to be selective with how busy you are.
Gosh, you know, another key truth, I have this little thing that sits over here. It's our company's core values and it's Belinda's core values. And, you know, I have a life statement and then I have three core values. And, you know, one of my truths I'm looking at, it's number three. It's what God says is true for me. And it's just, it's God's words. It's his promises. It's what he says has to be true for me because he's not a liar. Everything that he says is, it's true. And so that's really what I live by.
Boy, that's a faith walk. And that's what God wants us to be like. But you know, it's also, I've begun to think of obedience to God as just walking with God.
Yeah.
You know, when we think of obedience, it's like,
right.
You know, obedience, I got to obey. But really, it's just walking with God. It's seeing him move this way or seeing him move that way and keeping in step with him. And he doesn't show us too far in advance. So it is that daily walk. God, where are we going today? Today, one of the catchphrases is live your truth. But we can't live our truth because we don't know truth outside of God's truth. That is so powerful. So read it again. Read that key statement again.
What God says is true for me.
Yeah. So powerful. What God says is true for me. It has to be true for us. And, you know, I see truth. When I was in graduate school, one of the first professors I had, Terry Linval, he said, all truth is God's truth, no matter where it's found.
Yes.
And Satan will try to claim truth in some places, but if it's truth, it is from God because he is the author of truth and he is truth.
Yeah, he is.
Well, I love to ask my guests what woman or women of the Bible have inspired or encouraged or taught you something in your life. What about you, Melinda? Is there someone who comes to mind?
The first one that I think about, of course, is Deborah, which, you know, was a judge for Israel. And I just, you know, I think about her, and what I love about her the most is her success was all based on her faith in God, her wisdom, her ability to honor, to come alongside, you know, to bring alongside a man, to go into battle, her courage, her do it afraid, you know, type of mentality, just her courage to go into battle, and just a leader of leaders. And so she always just stands out for me as somebody just so amazing and inspiring.
You know, Melinda's story is such a beautiful reminder that ministry isn't limited to pulpits or platforms. It's woven into boardrooms, break rooms, and every hallway where God's people walk by faith. You don't have to separate your faith from your work. In fact, it's often in the pressure of deadlines, in difficult decisions, or in quiet acts of integrity that God shines most brightly through us. As Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And Proverbs 3:6 reminds us, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You may not feel like your job is particularly spiritual, but if you invite the Lord into it, it becomes sacred ground. Melinda, thank you for sharing how God has used you, not just to lead a company, but to shepherd hearts, speak truth, and bring hope through the everyday work of staffing and leadership. Your obedience has created ripple effects for God's kingdom. Now, would you take a moment and pray for our listening friends?
Lord, we just thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much for Jody, Lord, and the conversations, the podcast that she's put together, Father. We pray her message go into the ends of the earth, Father God. We pray for each woman who is listening and those who will listen in the future, Father. We pray just courage and wisdom and discernment over them, Father. Where they are fearful, Lord, just provide unbelievable courage and to do it afraid, Father God. We pray the blood of Jesus over each of them, Father, over their decisions, over the things that they say yes to, Father God, that you would equip, empower, that you would guide them every step, Father. We pray over their prayer life, Lord, that they would come to you with unbelievable faith, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you for what we are able to do in the marketplace. Father, would you bless their marriages, Father? Bless those who are mothers, Father. And we thank you for what you're doing across the earth, Lord. Thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And friend, as we close, I want to speak this blessing over you, adapted from Ephesians 1:17 through 19 and Colossians 1:10 through 11. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of him. May you walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may fulfill your calling with endurance, patience, and joy. He's placed you exactly where you are for such a time as this, not just to make a living, but to make a difference. To go deeper, be sure to visit hergodstory.org. You'll find today's show notes, the scriptures we mentioned, and a free 6-week devotional on Women of the Bible to encourage you in your own journey of faith. And if Melinda's story encouraged you, please share it with others. Also, would you consider joining us in the work of supporting widows and orphans through our Widow and Orphan Fund? Just click on Help Now on hergodstory.org. Every gift makes a real impact. If you need prayer, we're here for you. Call or text our 24/7 prayer and text line at 855-459-CARE or email prayer@somebodycares.org. Until next time, walk boldly in the grace and purpose God has placed within you, and never forget, your work matters to God. He's with you in every meeting, every decision, and every challenge. And remember, He is still writing your story.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.